For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show podcast with me, Caroline Barker. Coming up, two up, but six within a chance of those possible playoff places. We'll talk changes to that, plus Lincoln winning everything in front of them. This is the Non-League Football Show podcast, sponsored by Pitch Hero. Running your club online should be simple, so start your free Pitch Hero trial today and see what a Pitch Hero website can do for your club. Let's bring in the team. No I in team, just him, actually. Former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Dave Anderson.
Good afternoon, boss. How are you?
You've changed.
To speak to you again. I've changed.
You've changed because I called you up a little bit early to get you on the show. And
yeah.
We all had a little chat and you were eating what?
Toasted olive bread with cheese, which isn't something I grew up with, let me tell you.
Is it something that will kill you, though? I mean, you might not have grown up with
no.
it. Watch that old
If
one.
I was eating olive bread right when I grew up, olive would have made it.
Thank you for sitting in over the past few weeks.
Pleasure. Daunting, but a pleasure. But you ain't been too good, have you?
Well, I've been deaf in both ears, which I don't know whether you're going to help, but I'm now just deaf in one. So let's see what happens with that. There's been a lot of response to the show that you did last week, namely Joshua Milton, one of those that got in touch to say massive respect to Mark Cooper for his rant on National League and Wembley ticket prices. That's something we might follow up with one of our guests in the next wee while. And he then spoke about Forest Green Rovers and saying, not sure that he agrees that they're sustainable. How big were their losses? Sustainability, not one thing they are. I don't get this little team mentality. Lots have been talking about the fantasy and the dreamland of what's happened with Forest Green Rovers. It is money. And Dale accepts that, doesn't he, Dale Vince? It is money that's got them to where they are.
Yeah, it does. And to be fair, there is no magic wand, even with money. Money helps. I think it's a fair point. How sustainable is it and how far can they go given the location of the club? But, you know, you'd have to say that you couldn't deny them it. They've been close for the last sort of couple of years, and Mark Cooper's come in and done really well. And, you know, it was a real difficult show last week, Kazan, as much as that.
You couldn't
both manage.
All right, sorry.
No. Seriously, both managers came across well. I like both of them, and you were always going to feel for the loser, but be sort of delighted for the winner. And you know, Mark Cooper is and Forest Green Rovers have served their time, so up they go. And Mickey made a great point in the media after that about
Mickey Mellon.
Yes, about playoffs and. You know, about, you know, the fact of, well, listen, what he's saying is it should be three up, two up automatically, one, three playoffs, three up, three down.
Whoa. Don't spoil it. We've got a cracking guest coming up to talk about the playoffs
okay.
in just a moment. So hold talk about that thought.
It's called the Promised Land, is it?
To talk about the Promised Land.
Okay.
Just briefly, thank you for not mentioning the fact that my team didn't. Great week coming up this week. A non-league finals day on Sunday at Wembley. We will hear about that too. We'll hear from both sides of the FA Trophy coin going for that one. The Vars, of course, this weekend as well. So we'll talk that in just a few moments. You are listening to the Non-League Football Show. If you want to get in touch with Dave Anderson, not with me, Dave's on Twitter, but just also flag it up at Non-League Show, and that's where you can rant to your heart's desire. Well, as the world grew to understand the story of Forest Green Rovers winning in the National League playoff final to make it into the Football League, the National League sprung a curveball, it's fair to say, on us this week. In the programme at the weekend, the league announced proposals to extend the excitement of the playoffs with a new structure that will see more teams compete and in a more cup-orientated format. To explain all, let's speak to the chief executive of the National League, Michael Tassell, who joins us. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right. What about you? This seems like a bit of head scratching, a bit of maths involved, and a little bit complicated. What's it all about?
Well, when we launched our strategy last year, with the objective of going for growth, which was the title, we wanted to look at what was the best way of having the most exciting climax of the season. And one of the things that we have got discretion over is to look at the playoff format. So we looked at a playoff format that would involve more clubs and involve the maximum amount of sort of drama and excitement at the end of the season. So we looked at different playoff formats that existed, and the one which was the most attractive was the one where you go from four to six clubs, have single leg ties, and go down to seventh in the table. If you look at League Two, you go down to seventh to get you know, the playoffs on, with a division of 24. So we thought that with also having a division of 24, we could go down to seventh place and not dumb down the format, at least beyond which it is in League Two.
I get the idea kind of what you're saying the new format will be. Whose brainchild was it?
Whose brainchild was it? Well, it was. We start from the point of how do you make the playoffs and the end of the season most exciting. But the specific format has actually been discussed previously, and it's the brainchild of, I think, mainly Phil Alexander. He doesn't know that I'm mentioning his name, but Phil Alexander, who's the chief executive of Crystal Palace, because the format's been debated in the past by Football League clubs.
Yes.
And almost found favour with Football League clubs in the past. In fact, the clubs were in favour of it, but it didn't quite get to the point of being able to be implemented by the league itself.
Will this, you'll be well aware of course, of what happened in the National South this season, where Poole and Hungerford couldn't get into the playoffs as a result of ground grading. We dropped down places then to Hampton and Richmond so that they could take part in the playoffs. Could this mean we could go down, say, to as low as 10th to find those teams if there are, say, one or two teams that can't take part in those playoffs?
Yeah, I understand. But no, the rules will be still cut off at 7th. It's obviously for those that don't know the finer detail of the existing playoff rules. If you don't fill up the first four places, you can go down to sixth and seventh place in the table. But no, the rules will still be you can only go as down a seventh, far down a seventh in the table, because you know, ultimately the matches that you play in the league have to mean something, and you know, we wouldn't want to go down to any lower than where we'd go at the moment at seventh.
Yeah, because I'm sure you've seen some of the comments on social media. This has generated so many comments. Lots, has to be fair, enjoying the fact that there would only be one leg of a semi-final, but plenty making that point then. So it's good to get it cleared up that, you know, you could end up with down to 10th or lower involved, but only down to 7th. I know Dave is itching to put a question across, so go on then, Dave.
Yeah, questioner 6, it would have to be said.
Oh, I'll cut you off then.
Yeah, no, Michael, a couple of things. The first thing is the reassurance from yourselves that you'll still be lobbying 3 up, 3 down, which realistically is the promised land. And when you talk about the league clubs, that they go down to 7th because they have 2 up automatically, isn't that right?
In the Football League 2, they have obviously 4 up, and yeah, that's why they go down to 7th. I mean, they're in a very privileged position historically. They have 4 up and 2 down, and that's why they have 3 up plus another 4 and get down to 7th. But yeah, in terms of lobbying for 3 up, 3 down, we, you know, that is our ambition to be recognised with an additional promotion place. And this doesn't this particular move doesn't mean that is no less of an ambition of the National League.
Just my Twitter feed last night when this sort of became apparent, Michael, went absolutely nuts. And when I say nuts, I mean The biggest sort of feed that I've had in however many years I've been doing this nonsense on Twitter, 100, I'm guessing, something like that. And not one positive, really. There was lots of people quite negative about it. So I think, you know, we can't clarify that this is a proposal that's going to go to the leagues, isn't it? It's not set in stone. It's a proposal that will go to the league clubs at the AGM, yeah?
Well,
Well, this started last summer. We described it to the clubs last summer. It's gone through our board. It also went to the EGM in January, again for the clubs. So it's on the AGM to be formally ratified. It is expected that the clubs will back it because they've backed it when it's been previously aired with them on at two general meetings. So we would expect it to go through. And of course, whenever you change anything in football, football is extremely conservative industry. Whenever you change anything, you will get people thinking, you know, is that the right thing for the game? We're very conscious of changing things so that they're not just seen as a passing gimmick. We want to change it for the better, something that is genuinely better. So that, you know, that is part of our objective, not just for changing for change's sake, but changing to a format that will stand the test of time and will be genuinely better. And of course, when you only have two up and two down, then it's important that you come up with the most exciting format for the competition. You know, we felt that with only having two promotion places, we need to go further down the league when you have 24 in order to make the best format and make sure that all the matches in the league season and the running are as important as they can be.
Well, let's allow you a chance to respond to some of these messages then from the fans, at least. This one, money, pure and simple. Someone somewhere will make more money out of it. Will the money be going to the clubs, split between the clubs? How's it going to work?
I mean, I think the objective is not necessarily money. It's to have exciting games and to also make sure that all the matches towards the end of the season are also, there's always something riding on them because clubs want to get higher in the playoff zone in order to have the benefits of going straight to the semi-finals, for example, if you're second or third.
I guess the argument in the north and south, Michael, is that clubs obviously having to extend their seasons, so pay more wages to the players. Will clubs get a kickback as a result of this?
Oh, yeah. Well, how the rules will work in terms of dividing the monies, before you get to the playoff final, where there's particular rules where everybody gets a share in the division, as is currently the case, there'll be a format where it's similar to FA Trophy rules, where the proceeds of the match are shared out between the two competing clubs. So everybody who's involved in the playoffs will get a share of the gate in the match that they're competing in.
This one keeps more teams involved for longer. Great if you get promotion, but finishing seventh, but you have to feel for a team in second. So you could have a team in, we've seen it go from third to maybe fifth, though, a big points difference. But you could have a team, say, 20, 30 behind and yet still getting promoted.
Well, I mean, that is the playoffs for you, isn't it? It's already unfair if you take a very sort of purist approach of how many points you should have in the season. The number of points a club amasses should determine who gets promoted in the season. If you held that belief 100%, you wouldn't have playoffs because you would just go to the second place. But within the format, there is a significant advantage if you finish second or third, or fourth or fifth. So you would think that it'd be incredibly difficult to achieve promotion from seventh, because you'd have to play two games away from home and win them both. Obviously, you can qualify for the playoffs from finishing seventh, but it would be very difficult for you to get through and win that second promotion place.
Because of the playoff as well that you've got to go through. Scott says it makes it easier for second, only a home game and a playoff final away from promotion instead of a two-legged playoff. And Alistair, then coming back to that, says over two legs, it's more likely that the better team wins. This year at home, the playoff would have gone to Tranmere. They won 5-2 over two legs, so they're just saying essentially that it's better to have that ability to fairness over two legs.
I suppose you could look at it either way. I mean, the once you have slaughtered the sacred cow of bringing in playoffs and instead of going off league position, then you're always going to have a situation where the playoff will eliminate a club on the basis of either one match or two matches. The Football League choose two matches. The leagues below the National League go off one match. So there's different formats, and we've gone for the one which is the most exciting. Obviously, one leg where it's do or die is eliminates a first leg game. Where the first leg game can often be a bit of a sort of a stalemate because nobody wants to lose that first game.
Go on then, Dave.
I found it interesting, Michael, that you know when you say that it's more or less been on the agenda for a year. You spoke about it last year, and you're now bringing it to the table to be voted on this year. The Twitter feed I had last night from Overeem supporters would be that this is the first time they've heard of it. Has there been any consultation with supporters clubs or anybody at that level about this change?
Yeah, we did consultation following the launch of the strategy last season in the summer on it, and we have consulted with the clubs this season. Obviously, not everybody will have been aware of it, it seems, from the feedback you've got through Twitter, or they may have forgotten they've been aware of it and are obviously reacting to it. But it's not a bad thing to have a debate about different player formats. We have had we've had the majority of the debate already with our clubs, and they've found in favour of it, and you know that's why we're proceeding to the final stage.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And while we're on the subject of debates, the big one we had last week, and actually Mark Cooper was quite vocal in this, was the prices set for the playoff final, which people amongst myself thought were ridiculous. Who set those, Michael, and why were they so high?
Well, obviously you framed that question in a particular way where, you know, your opinion is that they are too high.
Sorry, the Ladies FA Cup, which was, I think, £20 a head, something like that.
Yeah, but Dave, that's, and I'm not going to defend you, Michael, but the FA, of course, can subsidise that. And I'm taking it, Michael, that the FA don't subsidise the National League. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We're not subsidised by the FA. We have a contract with the FA, with Wembley National Stadium Limited, for hosting the final. We have to be able to make ends meet when we're hiring Wembley Stadium, and it is an arm's length agreement that we have with Wembley Stadium. So, we have to charge the amounts that allow us to make that a worthwhile match. Obviously, you saw the attendance. We had 18,000 there, which was a good attendance. Both clubs were well attended by, you know, relative to their, I suppose, the size of their populations, and it was a very successful game. The quality of the football was very impressive. The goals were excellent, and the people who attended had a good time.
What's the break even? Is 18,000 break even then?
I would have to go look back at the financial models. No, it will be above a break even with an 18,000 attendance.
Okay.
So, what stage do the National League make a profit then?
I'd have to go back and look at the financial modelling to do that. I'm not prepared to do that at the moment.
Okay, Michael, we've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll catch up when and if. You seem fairly confident that this goes through too. So thanks for coming on and explaining it.
Thanks, Caroline. Thanks, Dave.
Cheers, Michael. Take care. Bye-bye. Michael Tassell, CEO of the National League. We'll get him to go off and have a look at those figures, Dave. But yeah, sorry to cut in. I know that the FA subsidised, I believe, subsidised for the women's game. So that's why, I guess, why they can make those tickets cheaper.
Well, I bow to your superior knowledge, boss.
It might be wrong.
I do think that, you know, it's a question that came up a lot on Twitter and on feeds through to the show that I think we've an obligation to ask Michael these sorts of questions. And to be fair, outside of the last one, which I wasn't particularly happy with his answer, I think the rest of me, you know, he honest as honest as he can. I think playoffs, the day that football introduced playoffs, it became showbiz for me, you know.
And it's kind of like you're saying the genie's out the bottle, there's no way going back.
Exactly. And I don't mean showbiz in a bad way. Some people love it, some people hate it. You know, I think your experiences contain you with it. That's me. but I understand the excitement. But there has to be a balance in someone finishing 35 points, 30 points behind the team that's second and ending up going up and the team that's second doesn't. So there has to be a balance. And I'm not sure...
Well, in the interest of balance, I think... maybe 70% of the messages we've had have been negative towards it.
Yeah.
Mine's 75.
A lot higher than that. Mine's a lot higher than that. Mine's probably 95%. But then people.
But who's doing the maths on that? You are listening to the Non-League Football Show podcast with Dave Anderson, sponsored by Pitch Hero, the UK's number one provider of sports club websites. So as we made mention earlier in the show, it's non-league finals day this Sunday. The FA Vars between Cleethorpes and South Shields. The FA Trophy between Macclesfield and York. Great day out for all non-league fans. Massive day for the four clubs involved, though more than just a day out, with a chance of silverware in their final game of the season. No more many they'll wear then, if that's even English, than what York can do. And manager Gary Mills, who knows a thing or two about winning the thing and joins us now. Hi, Gary.
Hello, good afternoon.
So, given all that you've gone through this season, I won't mention that R word, but how important is this weekend for you?
Well, it's very important. It's exciting. I think, like anybody involved with football, when you get to a prestigious final, no matter what the competition at Wembley, you want to go and win it. I certainly do, and certainly for the fans at York, I want to go there and win it for them, to be honest, because... whatever's gone on this season, they've been absolutely outstanding.
Has it been difficult to try and lift the players? I mean...
Of course it's difficult, it's hard, it's tough. But, you know, I think the nice thing is I gave them 10 days off from the last game of the season and we've been in since and we haven't mentioned it. We've just talked about moving forward. I've had 90% of the players telling me they want to stay at the club and bounce back next season. And, you know, I'm talking about experienced players that have had offers to go and play in the same league as we've just come out of, and some even League Two. And you know, they want to stay together, which is great. So I'm trying to look at it in a positive way, that I don't want to think this is a game at the end of the season. I want to try and use it with these squad of players I'm hoping to keep as the start of going forward for next season.
Well, that was going to be my next question, in that this is traditionally the time of year when you have a big clear out and when clubs that are relegated do have that big clear out. So is this kind of last chance saloon for some of the players?
No, anybody who you know knows what York was this season, I got a squad together from Christmas onwards, and you know, our form was tremendous, to be honest with you, and we missed out right in the final game. And I think, as a manager, when you get a special dressing room, which we got together post Christmas, they want to stay together. I want them to stay together. I don't want to be getting rid of players. Obviously, there's always two or three changes, but if I can keep this group of players for next season, which they want to stay, and we can go to Wembley together, that's why I want to use it as a stepping stone going forward rather than the back end of a disappointing season.
Yeah, huge advantage for you. Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Gary. I mean, obviously, my concerns, but I'm always interested in preparation, and this game gives you something different. I mean, first of all, will you travel down Friday or Saturday, because it's Sunday the final, isn't it?
Yeah, we're travelling down on Saturday, so it's perfect for us. We'll train, you know, halfway down on Saturday and prepare for the game as we normally would down at a club down south. And you know, we'll be ready. I think preparation's been fine. You have to get over disappointments in football, and the quicker you do it, the better. I've had disappointments before, and you bounce back. And, you know, this group of players that I'm talking about, we've come in and trained for the last 10 days, and the atmosphere has been tremendous, you know. We're going to a fantastic final at Wembley. Some of them have never been there before, so they're excited about that. So you have to move on, and we're not looking back and feeling sorry for ourselves.
Oh, no, to be fair, Gary, I absolutely think that this is something brilliant to help you move on. You know, a cup final at Wembley can put a lot of things away, you know, and rightly so. But, I mean, on the other side of it is that because it's the finals day, which is brilliant for us and brilliant for fans, it poses a different question because you're the second game. That's something you do. I mean, you're an experienced man, but you won't have done this many times, will you? Played the second game on in the same ground. How are you going to treat that?
Well, I hope the other team are out of the dressing room when we get there for start. I don't know. I don't know. We'll just prepare for a game at 4:15. We'll tour it up. I'm sure it's all going to be all organised properly. I think it's great for non-league fans, the fact that, you know, for the cost of the ticket, they can watch two games at Wembley. I think for us personally, for me personally, you know, you want to win any game of football, but the chance to win the trophy again, which I'd done 5 years ago at York City, is the main thing for me. So I'll just prepare with my players to go down there, make sure they're prepared properly, and we'll turn up at whatever time it is before kick-off and prepare in the right way.
We're going to talk, Gary, to John Askey in a moment, Macclesfield boss, of course. I know you'll be having a word with him anyway before the match too, but they've had financial problems. They've been up against it a bit this season as well. Do you think you're quite two well-matched sides out on that turf?
I think, you know, Macclesfield have had a, what they would say is another good season, but they'll be disappointed again. I think they've had that a couple of seasons now where they're falling away, you know, sort of the latter part of the season. And we played them late on, and you know, we won at Macclesfield late on in the season and played particularly well on the night. But we know, and John will know, that it's going to be a close game because, you know, we're two tough sides. Macclesfield are a good side, and we've got a lot of experience, and we feel we're a good side. So it's all on the day. Wembley can do funny things to teams and to players, and you know, it's the ones that do better on the day, not only, you know, with the way they're going to play, but handle the occasion.
Gary, all the best of luck at the weekend. Thanks for coming on the show as always, and we'll see you at Wembley.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Take care, Gary. Thank you. Gary Mills, manager at York. And if anyone can get the best out of his side, like you said, they picked up towards the end of last season. But it's still got to be gutting, hasn't it, to have that last day defeat, to see relegation right at the last minute.
Sure, I think it has, Kaz. But I think Gary will be working on from when he went back and the group of players he got together at Christmas. And he'll be focusing on the points.
That's the season start.
Yeah. And you know, they'd have been comfortable if they did that sort of in both halves of the season. I think he's been clever in giving the lads sort of 10 days away from it. People go, what about their fitness? What about their... No, never mind that. Get them away, get them recharged, get them to put the season to bed as far as league's concerned and get them focused on this. And I think he's been... he's an experienced man anyway, and I think he's done the right things. It doesn't guarantee you're going to win the final, because I genuinely think it's going to be a really close call.
So Gary Mills then talking about the strength he thinks his side have got come this weekend. Let's talk the other side of things, shall we, with Macclesfield Town boss John Askey. Hi, John.
Hi.
Talking to Gary then, he says sometimes, you know, Wembley can make and break teams. What's the kind of level of excitement from your side going into this weekend?
It's just it's an achievement to get there, but it won't mean anything unless we get a win. So it's just an occasion that hopefully the players will enjoy and the rise to the occasion.
We focused a lot on your club, you know, Lincoln, Sutton, great FA Cup runs. But for you, an FA Cup run and the trophy run, I think you spoke at one point about the Cup run had saved the club financially too. What has it meant to you this season?
A huge amount, because we haven't got a benefactor We're a small club, and as I say, the FA Cup, the FA Trophy, has created a lot of interest, and it means a great deal to clubs like ourselves. Without a run, I don't know where we'd be, really. Again, it's come to the rescue, and hopefully we can get a win, and it'll push the club forward for next season.
Did you feel that pressure financially to do well, to make sure the club continued?
I'm used to it. Being at the club for so long, every season's like that, so you just become used to it. And luckily for me, the players respond, and year in, year out, they've performed. And, you know, it's full credit to them, really.
Is that kind of the fillip at the end of it, I guess, going to Wembley? Does it make those struggles over the years worth it?
It does, and it repays back people who've been loyal to myself. And the town's buzzing. We've sold 8,000 tickets, which has never been heard of before. I don't think they've sold that many since the 70s. So there's real buzz about the place, and everybody's looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Dave Anderson.
Yeah, John, just on the finances, have you been able to bring the side down sort of Friday, Saturday, I take it, and sort of prepare properly, have you?
Yeah, we've been able to do that. I think it's important that we go around Wembley beforehand, and so we aren't sort of parading around before the game. We can just concentrate on the game when we go down on, get there on the Sunday.
Yeah, and I asked Gary the same question, and it's just a curious one, because this is a different situation where, you're an experienced man, as he is. But, me as a manager, I've never done this, played the second game on the pitch. I don't mean the quality of pitch. I mean, how have you addressed that? The fact that you're going to turn up whilst the final's going on? Have you worked out what the lads are going to do? Or, just that, it's a little bit different, isn't it, that the fact that you're the second game?
Yeah, it's something that you wouldn't normally come across. So until we get there, I don't really know how we'll deal with it, other than I think it's important that we stay within the dressing room, really, and keep everybody nice and cool. And, that doesn't interfere with our preparation.
Have you dared to dream, John? Have you thought, as a former player, now that the manager at the club, all that the club's been through, what that moment would feel like should you lift it?
Yeah, it would mean a great deal to myself and the football club. As soon as the final whistle went at Tranmere, it was probably the best feeling I've had at the football club, despite what we've won while I've been there as a player. I think that was the best feeling I had after we'd beaten Tranmere.
Because I've been in big games as a manager, and I've enjoyed very little of it until afterwards. Do you think you'll actually enjoy it?
I don't think you do you? I never enjoy any of the games. I hate practice, but I enjoy training, I enjoy winning. But like you say, the actual game is like being tortured, isn't it?
Well, hopefully this hasn't been too torturous for you. All the best of luck at the weekend, John. We'll be there to watch it too. And well done all you've done and continue to do for the club.
OK, thank you.
Thank you, John. John Askey, manager at Macclesfield. You can hear emotionally what it means to him, but also what they have gone through. And that's sometimes we forget with clubs, particularly in the National League, at the top of the non-league pyramid, because we kind of think, well, look at the Football League type setups that they've got. But there are still so many of those managers that are fighting for the club on and off the pitch and that have that pressure on their shoulders.
There is, Kaz, and it's something I try and ask as much as possible, and it's nearly a repeat question, because I like people who listen to the show and people who are supporters to understand what managers are going through. And as you said, it's torture. It absolutely is torture. I managed 2,000 games. I probably enjoyed about 5 of them. And I think I'm not on my own. And if you ever bump into a manager who says he enjoys it, he's a liar.
Well, you played my side for maybe 4 of those, and I think I only enjoyed one of them. So. But what a sweet one that was. This is the Non-League Football Show in association with Pitch Hero. One more story to come then, but if there's anything you want us to cover throughout the week, just get in touch at Non-League Show. Now, you know I don't like to brag, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, well, sometimes.
But I might have been at an awards ceremony this week, but you didn't need to go to it. Shall I tell you why you didn't need to go? Because Lincoln won absolutely everything. It is the end of the season. Quiet time, they said, but not here at Non-League Football, of course. Alex Neri from the Non-League paper is here to tell us about the small matter of the National Game Awards. Afternoon, Alex.
Afternoon.
But the editor supreme, Dave Anderson, who actually compared it all. And actually, Alex, you did pretty well.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. Yeah, it was a little bit nerve-wracking, but we got there in the end. And I think it was actually a very special day. I think it went by pretty smoothly and people seemed to enjoy it. So, yeah, as you say, it was pretty much the Lincoln show. And there wasn't really a lot we could do about that when you consider the season they've had. So, you know, good on them.
And yet, it was the awards for community club, the fan of the year, those sorts of awards, actually, that have the biggest impact, don't they?
Yeah, and they're really special awards and they really resonate with non-league football. The Lifetime Achievement Award winner, Andrew Morris from Westfield, you know, it was such a special day for him. And, you know, he's actually just emailed me to thank me for the day. You know, you can't put a price on how special these awards are for, you know, for these people, these hardworking people who work at these football clubs. And as I said yesterday, these clubs really would not survive without these guys working behind the scenes. So, you know, Andrew Morris was a very, very worthy Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And our fan of the year, Andrew Betts as well, from Stalybridge Celtic. You know, a 17-year-old lad who pretty much does everything at the club. You know, he works the turnstiles, he works on the pitch, he goes to every home and away game. So a very, very special day for these winners.
I'm glad you brought up Andrew Morris because I have an apology to make. I actually sent him the wrong direction on the district line to get home. So thankfully he did get home.
No, I just was going to take it back, Alex, to what you said about the Lincoln show. And I think you have to do that. How difficult is that for you within your paper, within your office? Because if you're doing things properly, you do what you did. You give them everything because they've won everything. But is it a difficult thing to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, we had a bit of a chat about it a few weeks ago, and we knew this was going to happen. You know, you're talking about a club here that's, you know, the FA Cup run that they went on. I know, in any other season, Sutton United would have won that award. They would have won the Cup run of the year. But you just can't look past Lincoln. Now, of course, you know, they did go to a public vote, and you have to take into account that Lincoln have a lot of fans.
Yeah.
So you do have to take that into account. But at the end of the day, if I look at those results and I look at those awards, whether they went to a public vote or not, I can't really argue with any of them. You know, you look at the Manager of the Year, it's none other than Danny Cowley. You look at Team of the Year, it has to be Lincoln. Cup Run of the Year, it has to be Lincoln. Paul Farman, the Lincoln keeper, you know, the amount of games that he kept Lincoln in, you know, this season. I mean, he's won them a stack of points. You know, he's made seriously crucial saves at crucial times. So, you know, and Alex Woodyard as Player of the Year and Sean Raggett as Young Player of the Year. You can't really argue with these awards when you look at them with the bare facts.
And as much as I tried to tap Paul up to come and join my club, that wasn't going to happen either. He's dedicated, as they all are, to what Lincoln are going to do, rightly so, in League Two. You wouldn't bet against them going all the way through. One quick word, Alex. I know that everyone will be able to see all the award winners in the paper this weekend, so well worth a buy for that. But also, you're going to be at Wembley for this non-league finals day then. We've spoken to both managers about the trophy, the vase between Cleethorpes and South Shields. South Shields have been one of those stories, again, kind of a bit like Lincoln and Sutton, that's attracted nationwide and worldwide publicity, not least for the likes of Julio Arca and the players and the fans that they get.
Yeah, it's been great. It's just been another, you know, part of what's been a great season. There's been so many great stories. You know, I'm very much looking forward to Sunday. I think it's going to be a really great day. I think South Shields is just going to bring so much to the day itself. There's going to be an army of fans there. And on South Shields, I think, again, in any other season, they would have probably been our team of the year. But, you know, Lincoln edged them out with that one as well. But I think they could really send out a strong message and end it, you know, in a real strong way on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to it.
I know I've heard some fighting talk from the chairman at Cleethorpes saying that they're totally focused on winning the Vase. That's exactly what they're going there for too. So they may go in as underdogs, but they're not just there to enjoy the old day out at the stadium too. Do you think, given they've closed the times up between the two matches, we're going to see more people stay for both?
Well, I hope so. I really do. I think there is that temptation. I think people go there with the best intentions of enjoying the day. Unfortunately, the result of the game will dictate whether some fans stay or not and enjoy the festivities onwards. But I really do hope they do. I really hope they embrace the day. I think that's key. You've just mentioned there, Caroline, about them kind of reducing the time between the two games. I think any longer it does give them a bit of impetus to leave. So I think I think closing that gap is crucial. I think it's going to be a really great day. I think the numbers are going to be great, and I think that you'll see a lot of fans staying for both games.
See you there, Alex. I hear you're doing the turn beforehand in getting everyone on the pitch. Such was your success yesterday. Thank you for coming on the show and all that you're doing for non-league football.
Cheers. Thank you.
Alex Nery down at the non-league paper. It was a great day at the NGA's. It has been one of those seasons, Dave Anderson, that we'll reflect on when we do our last show in a couple of weeks' time. When we look back on it, all those highs, lows, clubs maybe on the brink, coming through, success stories, names attached to it. It feels like non-league woke up the FA Cup, as it always does every season, but woke it up for the better and hopefully the enjoyment of other clubs and fans that have maybe poured a bit of water on the FA Cup of late. And it also feels like we've kind of said, you know what, we do sort these clubs out. We do send them back into the Football League, but there's so much within this pyramid that's holding up the rest of football.
Oh, it is. It is, absolutely. And, you know, if you're talking about the FA Cup, I don't recall a year being better, you know, for lots of years, you know. I think, you know, everyone sort of forgets the run that Macclesfield had, that Sutton had, Lincoln, sort of Sean going to end up at the Emirates. It's fabulous, you know, the playoffs, I think, have been exciting in each sort of division. Though, yet again, more players coming out of non-league and into the pro game. I think we're in a healthy place. It doesn't mean we rest on our laurels or we sort of give Michael the FA an easier time the next time he comes on, because that's what we're here to do. But it's been quite a year, and I think the finals day is another excellent idea and should be another excellent day out.
I've always thought the thing about resting on laurels is that they're a bit spiky, but that's another issue. Anyway, Dave Anderson, thank you as always.
Hang on, what? Hang on. I just must say this, you know.
But I really need to go to the toilet.
Again, I just want to congratulate Ryan and the under-15s at Carrick Rangers in Northern Ireland for winning their league.
Who's Ryan?
Never you mind. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And I just want to congratulate him and his team. And listen, we're a small country, and we could do with him coming through and playing for the national side soon. So well done, Ryan, and Carrick Rangers under-15s, and you can go to the toilet now, but wash your hands.
If you would like to see any of the winners from the National Game Awards, we put them on. We put the winners on our social media at Non-League Show. I'm not going to Facebook Live from the toilet, don't worry. Good luck to everyone in action this weekend. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to tell your friends. We're on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And of course, that today's podcast was sponsored by Pitch Hero, celebrating 10 years of being at the heart of grassroots football. From myself, Dave Anderson and the toilet, thank you for listening.